Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wainer. In today's episode, we sat down with Liliana Bustamante, MD, and Jessica Stein, MD, to discuss their experiences as women in oncology. In our exclusive interview, Drs. Bustamante and Stein discussed their unique journeys toward choosing careers in oncology, the emotional fulfillment of treating patients with cancer, the importance of mentorship between colleagues, and the evolving nature of work-life balance. They also emphasize the importance of honesty, peer support, and self-grace in navigating oncology careers. Going back to the start of your careers, what made you want to become oncologists?
You know, really, I remember in med school, I did a rotation as a med student in the oncology unit. And I really was, the first thing that made me fall in love with it is just the relationships that are formed between patient and doctors. I think there's something very special about the relationship that oncologists have with their patients that is different than I think in other fields of medicine, or at least that's how I see it. I think that the patients are going through something very difficult. They put a lot of trust in us. There's a lot of difficult conversations sometimes and guiding them through different options of treatment or maybe not treatment at all. And so I fell in love with sort of that bond that I saw, you know, some of my attendings had with their patients. And then in addition to that, I think the intellectual part of oncology is also very interesting. It's a field that constantly keeps me on my toes. You can't just learn one thing and kind of relax and do nothing. You have to constantly be reading and trying to figure out what the next best step and go to meetings and go to tumor boards and talk to colleagues. So I think that part also is interesting because it's always new and there's always new things happening. So I think that balance is what I like the best.
Well, I think the decision to become an oncologist was really just an organic kind of process, honestly. So a little bit about my background. I actually don't have any medical family members or close friends. And so when I was going through school, I knew that I wanted to be in medicine, but I wasn't entirely sure in what regard and what specialty. So I essentially started going through my rotations as a medical student, and I was instantly drawn to surgery. And, you know, being drawn to surgery, you have a lot of potential options as to how you can essentially become a surgeon and what field and specialty you gravitate to. And it actually wasn't until I was in my OBGYN rotation that I even knew that GYN oncology was a specialty. So I had already decided I definitely wanted to be a surgeon. I love the operating room. I just love being able to, you know, operate on patients and take care of problems immediately. But I did not know that GYN oncology was a specialty. So when I rotated through OBGYN, I then actually really loved it because not only did I just gravitate towards those patients in general, but it just felt good coming to work every day, being able to do surgery for patients that have cancer and feel like you're definitely making an immediate difference in their lives. So that's kind of how I came to that conclusion, and happy I did.
What have been some of the biggest challenges that affected your career paths, and how have you navigated these?
I think I'm challenged by the fact that sometimes, you know, this field can have a pretty emotional toll in us, the practitioners. And so some days coming home sort of after a tough day of lots of bad news or lots of difficult conversations and still having to be a mom and be a wife and do all the things outside of the office like nothing happened. I think that's always something that to me has been a challenge. Obviously, when my career started, I, as a fellow, I didn't have all those other responsibilities. So if I had a tough day, I would just come home and watch Netflix and relax. But that's no longer an option. So I think the balancing of like who I am at work and who I want to be outside for my family, I think that's always hard. And then I think, you know, oncology is a field that, you know, still I think is mainly male dominated. And I think maybe something that will change in the future. I think obviously there's a lot more females in medical school, and I think the balance is going to shift. But even for me, when I started in my practice, I've been practicing now for 8 years, and there's only two women that were here, and it was a large group, 15 or so. So I was very thankful to have those two women. And actually, I always talk to my female partner who was here by herself for many years before any of us joined. And I can't imagine going through that. But even having them, you know, when I got pregnant and needed to say that I was going to go and leave, just a lot of anxiety to myself to worry about what they would think or worry about them thinking I wasn't a hard worker or that, oh, look at this girl came and, you know, now she's having a baby and all that stuff. So I think that to me was a little hard. Obviously, my partners were very supportive. And so that was all kind of self-created, like in my mind, what I thought would happen. And so I think that's always something that I feel is a challenge, especially in a field that still has more males than females.
You know, going back to not really having a lot of influence from people around me, I think one of my biggest challenges was essentially not really knowing what I was getting myself into for each step in my medical training. So I really was like, I felt like every step was a little bit of a surprise and a little bit of a learning opportunity. And you know, every step in the process has its own specific challenges. Like in medical school, you're obviously doing a very high volume of curriculum and kind of learning how you literally how to study for exams. I always kind of joke that I had the worst grade in anatomy, actually, my first year in medical school, because I just didn't understand exactly how to study for it. And then for the remainder of the year, you know, ace the rest of the practicals and exams. So each step kind of came with its own small challenges. I think, you know, residency, it's the challenge of kind of working through the fact that you're working extremely long hours and trying to navigate, you know, a little bit of a work-life balance. But I think, you know, overall, just kind of taking it step by step for each pathway and kind of working through it. So honestly, I think that the major challenges were the not knowing what to expect in the future.
First, the transition from like a fellow to being like in my own practice, that's a hard thing in and of itself. When you're a fellow, you make decisions, but you always know that somebody's kind of overseeing or you have somebody to bounce ideas off of. And even in a practice of a lot of people, everybody's doing their work and seeing their own patients. So it's a little bit isolating and just having that responsibility is, I think, it's a challenge. The other thing is, obviously, when you first start, you want to prove yourself professionally and you want to make sure that everybody knows that you're doing a good job and that you're reading, that you're keeping up to date. And that pressure that you put on yourself is hard, you know, be at every meeting, shake every hand, take up every patient, pick up the phone every time, you know, add patients on just so that you can show that you're here and you're going to do a good job. And at the same time, for most of us, that's the time where we're starting to decide to be moms and to, you know, grow our family. And so you're balancing those two things at the same time, which happened for most women around that time, is really hard, I think. In terms of advice, I think nobody has it figured out. And I think that's the best advice to give people. Just be honest and talk to each other about some of the challenges that we still have. I think for me, having other friends that are physicians has helped, and having friends that are honest about the challenges, I think, is helpful. You know, I don't portray an image that I have it all together or that I'm not overwhelmed or that I, you know, I'm always the best mom or always the best oncologist. And it's always trying to find the balance of being both and being good at both things without creating unrealistic expectations of yourself. And so I think that's probably the thing that I wish I knew earlier. You know, it's okay. Some days you're going to be great at work and not so good at home. And some days you're going to kill it as a mom and maybe not great because you didn't catch up on all those notes or make all those phone calls. And it's okay to fail a little bit in one side or the other. You're a human being. There's only so much you can do. And I think finding friends for me that have made that okay or told me that that's how they are, I think helps a lot.
What does work-life balance mean for you? And how have you tried to achieve this over the course of your careers?
I love that concept, work-life balance. It sounds great. I think it's a work in progress for me all the time. I think I feel that the sacrifices sometimes I make to to work in the field that I do are worth it. I find this job very meaningful. And so that helps. And I have to tell this to myself all the time. So don't, you know, I don't do this all the time, but just accepting that you're not going to be good every single day, and you cannot be at all places at all times. And sometimes you're going to miss that game and feel a little guilty about it. But I think just giving yourself grace, trying to be fully present wherever I am in the moment. So if I'm at work, trying to be fully there and kind of letting go of all the other 20 things that are there in my mind. And then when I'm home, I really try to be home and try to disconnect. And when I give the time to my kids or have the weekend, I make sure that I have like just all the attention to them. So I think that's the only way to strike some sort of balance. Try to give yourself an out, you know, it's okay. I think we're usually our own harshest critics. And a lot of that guilt often comes just nobody's making you feel guilty. Your kids are fine, but you just created this drama in your mind about how you're failing and not doing things right. Or, you know, your kids are going to be in, you know, some terrible situation, which is not real. And also I think another thing for me that has helped in finding the balance is sometimes looking at people that are ahead of me. So I have a few physicians, female physicians that work with me that have been doing this job for, you know, 15, 20 years, and their kids are older and they're going to college and they're great kids and they have great relationships with their moms and they're smart and kind and full humans. And they tell me like, enjoy every moment because it goes so fast. And so I just looking at that and just reminding myself, it does go fast. You know, it's okay. They'll be fine. You're not neglecting them. They'll be good kids. They'll appreciate the fact that you work. So all that stuff is constantly something that I have to remind myself of.
That's an evolving process. And it certainly does depend on the point in your career, where you're at currently, what your family life looks like. You know, when I started as a resident, I was newly married. So that, you know, came with its own challenges. My husband was a co-resident. So, you know, working through that was, you know, stressful. We have 80-hour work weeks and trying to navigate. And I think it's, you know, we were able to easily do that, but, you know, you realize that you have to dedicate a lot of your time to that learning phase and kind of, you know, realize that there's a light at the end of the tunnel is essentially how to get through those portions of your career. At least that's kind of, it's like head down, work hard, and you know that there's, you know, going to be a more like reasonable work-life balance after that portion of training. Fellowship, for instance, was that it was still very difficult, but I was more on a higher level. I had completed the, you know, the residency training. And so I really was directly under my attendings, and my workload, while still difficult, certainly was, I had more of a kind of mature role in the team. So I didn't have to, you know, stay as late doing as many of those kind of tasks that I was doing in residency or get there quite as early. So the hours became somewhat more reasonable, but then you kind of trade that with my second year of fellowship training, then I had a child. So that brings, of course, a whole other, you know, family dynamic and experience there. So really, I think achieving the perfect work-life balance is impossible. At least this is how I perceive it. I always kind of say it's kind of like a juggling act, and you have glass balls and plastic balls, and you're just hoping not to break the glass ones. Sometimes you're going to drop a plastic one here or there. So for me, you know, I have two children, I have a husband, I always joke that they still like me, and I'm very busy at work. And I spend a pretty good amount of my time on prioritization of tasks and figuring out what is most important, you know, at that given time, whether it be getting notes done for the office or if today it's, you know, going to my son's play. So it's certainly not always an easy task, but gratefully, I think I do a pretty good job of managing it.
What has been the importance of mentorship and other career support networks for you during your careers?
I think mentorship is very important. I think in fellowship, I had a lot of male mentorship. I didn't have a lot of female mentorship, which would have been great. But I also think that, and even though I did have a lot of great female attendings, I don't think we would talk about things like what work-life balance and how to deal with the things once you are out of fellowship and how to keep things balanced, I think. So I think in general, my view about mentorship is honesty and just talking about the struggles in an open way. I've had mentorship, I think, with my partners here in my practice. I think we do it for each other at different times and depending on what we're going through. And I think informal peer mentorship is also important. So I've have great relationships with other physicians that are not necessarily medical oncologists, but, you know, radiation oncologists, surgeons, gastroenterologists, things like that, and just kind of mentoring each other in all aspects of things and socially seeing each other and doing all these things. I think that just helps in going through your career and just knowing that it takes time, you know, like you don't have to be at the peak of your career immediately. It's not a competition. It's a marathon, you know. Take your time, live the moment, do your best. And I think things kind of come into place.
I think that mentorship was actually a major component of what got me through those steps, because I had to look externally from, you know, people that I was already familiar with to actually receive advice, like career-based advice. So I definitely developed some very strong mentors over the course of my career. You know, given the fact that I did not have any sort of family influences or direct contacts that could lead me through my professional life, I definitely developed different types of mentorship throughout my training process. So I would say that, especially like during residency, the people that influenced me the most, in addition to my attendings, but probably even more so, were my co-residents. So my colleagues that were there with me in the trenches, so to speak, you know, that were guiding me, my senior residents. And ironically, one of those people was my husband, who was a year ahead of me. So knowing what he had gone through and being able to directly experience that almost a year in advance actually was a huge advantage to me. But I had, you know, incredible resident colleagues that really helped, you know, get me through those 4 years of residency. And I would say that when I entered into fellowship, it's more of a, I would say, like a mature role in your career, where you start leaning more towards your attendings, you know, to guide you. And I definitely had phenomenal influences in fellowship. Some of my attendings were just so hands-on and nurturing, and for instance, just very talented, intelligent people. One of my main surgical mentors was Dr. John Bogus, and he broke ground with robotic surgery. So I learned, you know, so much from him. And then I had other fabulous mentors as well, like Dr. Paula Gehrig was amazing. She was a female attending mentor of mine that, you know, helped me out a lot with some of the other aspects, not just teaching surgery and learning about GYN oncology patients, but, you know, also helped me, you know, guide me with some of the life aspects of being a fellow and then subsequently in attending.
What advice would you give to your younger selves regarding your career journey as a whole?
Number one thing that I would tell myself would be, or that I would advise somebody, is give yourself grace. It's okay. You don't have to be perfect or, you know, achieve to be perfect all the time at every aspect of your life. That will just tire you out. And I think seek out women ahead of you, behind you, create networks. I think supporting each other is important. And I think that there's something very unique about being a woman in medicine, with all the things that come with being also a very important part of your family life and keeping all those balls in the air at the same time as you're keeping your career going. And even though this is not something that I think I have achieved, but I do practice all the time, is just enjoying the moments, you know, enjoy while you're at work and be present there. And then when you're home, do the same and just try to keep those things separate so that you can be good at both things and not always constantly wishing you were in this place and wishing you were in that place while you're doing things. I think that's probably the top things that I would say I wish I knew to start earlier.
The biggest advice, and I think this is why I, you know, really, really am happy where I am, is to do what you love primarily. Obviously, to find that specialty that you enjoy going to work for, because, you know, there are different aspects of different specialties and things that make them more attractive or not. But the reality is, you spend a lot of time at work. So if you can find something that you really just have a passion for, obviously, focus on that. I would tell myself that residency was probably, if I had to take one portion of time, the most challenging portion of my career, just from the aspect of the hours and the pressures. And I would remind myself that that's a finite period of time, and that, you know, it's worth the training that you receive in the end, which I absolutely believe that it was. And I would tell anyone who's going into GYN oncology to try to obviously connect yourself with a mentor who has basically a life that you think is similar to one that you want to achieve for, so you can also get some advice and how to manage your time and work like balance and things that are equally, honestly, as important as doing your job and being good at it. So I think that, you know, that helped me quite a bit. So I would highly recommend that.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive. And follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.